The Truth as Told by Mason Buttle by Leslie Connor. Chapter 10. Boom. At the end of the day, I look for the boy named Calvin Chomsky. He said he was on my bus, but I don't see him. The bus line is not a looking around place for me. I look at my shoes. I shuffle forward. The loudest kids get on our bus first. They sit at the back. Matt Drinker, Lance Pearson, their friends. I sit in the middle of the bus, face at the window. There's a lot of talking. I like the sound being all around me. Feels like I'm invisible, big as I am. The bus rolls out. I think about that dragon program, me writing the sequence of the mornings. I think about how my checkpoints through town run backward on the way home. I think this. Right before the diner is the firehouse. I look for the bench out front. It has my best friend's name on it. The brass plate says, "In loving memory of Benny Kilmartin." I've read my way through it a lot of times. Got it all memorized. It says, "Donated by Merrimack Hose Company, too." That's the name of the firehouse. So I guess they donated it to themselves. It's pretty smart. Firefighters need a place to plunk down. Me, too. Sometimes I pedal Uncle Drum's old bike all the way down Swaggertown Road to town, just so I can sit on that bench. I put my hand over Benny's name until the brass warms up. I try to get the loving memory of Benny. It means stopping to think about him is all. I always try for a good memory. If we can't have Benny, well, I guess I am glad the bench is there. The wood is still brown, but it'll turn gray like the other memory benches in our town. You can see some of those from the bus, if you know where to look. When Benny died, that was it. Boom. Uncle Drum said it. Bing bang for Gramps and Mom, boom for Benny. It came a lot later, and maybe Benny wasn't ours, not family, not the same as my grandpa and my mom, but it felt like he was, to me. Sometimes I close my eyes when the bus goes by the Merrimack Hose Company. Some days I don't want to see the bench. Some days I just know that the loving memory parts won't come. Instead, I'll get stuck hurting because I don't have Benny anymore. I will get to worrying about Lieutenant Bard, the way he stops over at the crumble down. Happens about every month. The lieutenant has questions. He is looking for answers, but he doesn't like mine. Chapter 11, Lieutenant Bard. After Merrimack Hose Company comes Merrimack PD. That's how Uncle Drum says it. PD means police department. Well, it is the station, really. There are a lot of word things that seem funny to me. This is one of them. I have heard of firehouses, but not police house. Fire station and police station. And of course we have Merrimack Hose Company. But I have not ever heard of a police company. Maybe they have that somewhere. I don't know. Out in front of the Merrimack PD is the American flag and a shield, blue and gold, painted on the door. There is a brick wall that makes an arch over the drive. Today, the number 00 cruiser is parked. Number 00 is Lieutenant Bard. Tell you what, that's good. Means he's not at my house today. He will come again soon, probably. He is a person I think I could like, but we've got this problem. He still wants the same thing he wanted more than a year ago. He wants help. He wants me to remember everything that was going on the day that Benny Kilmartin died. He even gave me this black and white spotted notebook. He folded the orange pencil inside it. He said, "Now, Mason, you write it all down." I choked. I said to him, "You don't know what you're asking." Tell you what, that was no wisecrack. If Lieutenant Bard had just gone over to the school, they would have told him how it is with me, the reading, the writing, my troubles with that. Grandma did tell him. Uncle Drum, too, he said. "Lieutenant, you should know that the kid kind of hit the trifecta of troubles." He said that, poking his thumb at me. Then he said something about how you see the sweating, but the learning disabilities are invisible. He said, "We got major dyslexia here." Waggled his fingers in front of his eyes. Dyslexia is about the letters going all faded or fat. But the lieutenant made me keep that notebook. "Give it a try," he said, big smile. He pushed the notebook at me like it was a big birthday gift. Thing is, it was more like a death day gift. He gave it to me right away on the day Benny died. I remember. I let a flood of tears go right into the cover of that thing. Writing it down doesn't go well, but the lieutenant wants me to write anything, even if it doesn't seem important. He said that I can make a list of words and we will talk about them, because that's how an investigation goes, with everyone not knowing what's important until it's all put together. Like a puzzle. Tell you what, I have tried, but I don't think I have those pieces. Chapter 12, The Cluster Stop. The loop through town is done. I missed a few checkpoints. Happens when I have my mind on the lieutenant, the tree fort, and Benny. There are some days I can't get away from it. I think this. I will try to tell all of that to the dragon. Write it there. Someday. The bus turns onto Swaggertown Road. My road. Long one. Takes you way out of the center of town. I think about this. My mom died along this road, hit by a car on a clear starry night. That was the bang, Uncle Drum said it. I was pretty little, thought that bang was the sound when the car hit her. But somewhere in these years my brain got it. Bang was about losing her. Bang was the way it hit us. My stop is a cluster stop. It's a pretty new thing. They made it up after the new developments went up. One up the hill, one down. Our house in the middle along what's left of the orchard. The cluster stop means you can get a whole lot of kids on and off the bus at one time. Merrimack needs that now. Merrimack has been growing. That is because there is a new plant in the city. Manufacturing. Airplane parts. So lots of workers came here with lots of kids. Tell you what I do. I stay ready for the stop. When I step off this bus, I hit the ground moving. Away. From Matt Drinker, Lance Pearson, and not as much, a kid named Corey McSpirit. He's the newest one. Moved in this summer. He stands off to the side. He always wants to get down to the hill to Matt's yard for a pickup game. Lacrosse. That's what they play. Kind of funny because Matt Drinker is not a kid I'd ever give a stick to. But I've seen the inside of his garage. He's got a lot of those sticks. Our house is the closest one to the cluster stop, but the bus rolls on by it for the drop. Then I have to walk back to it, or more like run. Lucky I can get to our door pretty quick, and I do. Matt and Lance fire lacrosse balls at me, and you might know it. They are hard. Rubber or something. They smart when they smack you. It's not as bad when they throw apples. And they can now. It is apple season. We are halfway up Swaggertown Road. A group groan comes from the back of the bus, then swear words. I turn to look. Matt Drinker's phone just lost juice in the middle of a video. That's what they do back there. They lean together, watch sports, highlights, and mess-ups. Matt says, "We have to see that play! We have to!" Lance tries his phone, pokes at the screen. Matt Drinker sees me all turned around in my seat. He says, "What are you looking at, buttface?" Tells me to turn around. I do, but then I hear him tell Lance, "Your phone's too miniature. We need a bigger screen. Where's that kid with the white hair? The one who always has his tablet. That little pygmy-sized kid." That makes my eyes open up wide. I look back again. Matt is up. He's looking all over the bus seats. Hawk for a field mouse. Then I see Calvin Chomsky is on the bus after all, two seats behind me. Must be I missed him while I was looking at my feet. He tries to sit low now, but his eyes look up right at me. He pushes the tablet down into his lap. I think Calvin Chomsky should have sat up front. Matt is up the aisle. He stands over Calvin. He points at the tablet. He says, "I need that." Calvin says, "Well, it's mine. I don't lend it out." Matt says, "It's just for a few minutes. Give it." He swipes the tablet. Now Calvin Chomsky's eyes go wide. He stares at his own empty fingers. In the back of the bus, Lance Pearson tries to grab the tablet from Matt. Matt holds it away. He mocks Calvin's whiny voice. He says, "I don't lend it." They laugh, huddled up. They reach all hands in to tap on the screen. Calvin Chomsky sits, pushes his tongue to his cheek, like he's got a cherry top in there, a cherry tomato in there. He rolls his eyes at me a couple times. I keep watch. The bus rolls down Swaggertown Road toward our cluster stop. Corey McSpirit looks up. He says, Hey, we're almost there, guys. Better give him back his tablet. Hold on, hold on, Matt says. Does this thing have a camera?
I got eyes on Calvin Chomsky. He breathes in.
Matt finds the lens. He says, oh, good.
Then Lottery says, because we need a picture of the butthole's new stupid shirt. Ha ha. He steps into the aisle, aims at me. He says,
puff up, sweathead. Show me your chest.
I do it, because maybe then they'll give the tablet back. Matt sees my shirt, the plaid tape, and what Miss Blinney wrote. The box she drew, he says,
hey, what's that? You changed it.
He shows a snarly lip. I say, yep. I give a quick look at Calvin Chomsky. Matt cusses, skips the picture, but he talks loud. He says,
Buttle, your brain is a big empty box.
The whole bus roars. I unpuff my chest. The driver yells back. He says,
quiet, sit down back there.
Then the bus rolls to a stop at the corner of Swaggertown and Orchard Drive. The air brakes hiss. Matt passes the tablet back to Calvin. Good thing. Turns out Calvin Chomsky is getting off at our stop. Surprise to me, but tell you what, when I'm trying to keep my sweat to myself, I miss stuff. I stand in the aisle, make myself bigger than I already am. I hold up the line to put Calvin in front of me. Best he gets off this loser cruiser before those backseaters. On the ground, Calvin doesn't talk. He walks, turns away like he will cross Swaggertown Road, head up the hill. The road is named Jagabon Path. It's wrong. It was mostly Courtlongs and Galas up there. The developers do not know apples. Must be Calvin lives in that upper development. I set my sights on my house, like always. It's about as far away as a kid can fling a lacrosse ball. Corner my eye, I see Matt and Lance run up behind Calvin. They grab his backpack, dump him. He's butt on the ground. Sandy hair, tan sandy shoes in the air. A bunch of cluster stop kids hang. Some look over their shoulders and whisper. Matt and Lance laugh. They circle around Calvin. Calvin crawls up off the pavement. Looks like a turtle getting off its back. He tells them, not very sporting, taking out a kid who weighs about as much as a moth. Lance steps toward Calvin. Yeah, the word comes out of my mouth. I step forward, chin high, I call. Try to dump me. Just try. I smile with all my teeth, poke my chest with my thumbs to call over them. Then I stand like a post, taller than the rest of them. Some kids watch. Somebody says, they're going to go after Buttle again. Matt and Lance don't try to drag me, but they jab at my knees with those lacrosse sticks.
Do you have any books about flipped?
I look behind us and duck a flying lacrosse ball, then run on. I come up to Calvin's heels. I pick him up so I don't plow him down. A ball stings me in the butt. I hurry us up. Calvin helps, trying to keep running when his feet happen to touch on the ground. I'm swinging the heck out of him, but I can't let go. I can't. We are up the saggy steps of the porch, Calvin and me, like we are pasted together. I take one last lacrosse ball smack in the middle of my back. Calvin is quick. He turns the knob. We fall in, me on top of Calvin. Crash, groan. I roll off him quick, scoop my foot into the door to kick it shut, then collapse and breathe. Uncle Drum in the indoor armchair says, hi, Mason. Grandma leans around the kitchen door, looks at Calvin and me. She says, what's up? A heap of boys? I say, yeah, we are a heap. She says, trouble at the cluster stop? I say, just some. I don't bother Grandma with that stuff. Shaylin sticks her head out of my old room, looks surprised to see me, looks surprised more to see more than just me. She gets right on it. Crabs about the noise of two boys falling into the house, then pops away again. Cuckoo bird. Grandma looks at tiny Calvin Chomsky. She says, who wants a banana shake? I look at Calvin. He nods. I tell Grandma, two, please. Then I ask Calvin if he's okay. I ask because of that chase and because, tell you what, if you land on a kid like Calvin, it feels like you crushed a little pile of twigs and feathers. Calvin nods. He's okay. Then he grins. He says, actually, that was awesome. Uncle Drum in the armchair lets out a low laugh.